We don't learn when we bring shame to people. We have to provide them the right coaching and guidance and teaching for what we expect. And we need to really change sales training to communications training. And everybody should be doing it.
You're listening to the Endless Customers Podcast, where we help you earn trust and win customers in the age of AI.
Welcome back to the show. My name is Alex Winter, and I am joined by Chris Dupre, our Chief Customer Officer, head coach here at Impact, also my friend. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. I appreciate it. Today, we're talking about accountability with sales teams and what managers specifically can do to help their sales teams. Now, you have a lot of experience in this realm. You've done sales. You coach a lot of companies, big to small, about sales and ways to optimize their process, how to train their teams. What do you typically see when you first enter, and like, where are the problem areas, or what's like common so that we can establish some like relatable ground for people that are listening and watching?
I'll give you a little quick story of a prospect I actually went and saw last week.
Okay.
And so the president of the company and the head of sales both looked at me and said, so we've been looking at our sales team and saying, just sell more.
Okay.
And they said, and dude, it's just not working. Now granted, they told me this, this isn't going to work. We got to do something different.
Right.
But it just resonated with how often that is what sales managers say to salespeople. Close more, make more phone calls, do more of this, build up that pipeline.
It's a numbers game. You just need to work the numbers, calls, more of this. Yeah.
Right. Yep. So we spend a lot of time. Mm-hmm. Looking at activities and just telling people be better. And quite frankly, that's sort of where, that's where most organizations end their, what the sales management does. The sales managers are looking at numbers, they're looking at activities, they're looking at results, and they're telling people to work harder, do more, be better. Are there outliers? Of course there are.
Right. We're speaking, generally speaking here.
Yeah. But that's the general thing that you walk into when you look at a sales organization or sales team, mm-hmm. especially with, you know, not even younger managers, but they can be young or they can be seasoned. It's almost that, well, this is the way that I was brought up in sales, so this is what we're going to do. It's all about pipeline review and looking at this deal and just telling you to close them.
Seems like it's kind of cutthroat as well, where like you need to sell more, whatever that means. And then if you don't, your job's on the line. It seems like, is that accurate to say that?
Well, listen, I mean, sales is 100% a what have you done for me lately game, mm-hmm. right? And every sales professional that goes into it knows that. I mean, if you think about, you know, this is that profession where those that have the highest risk tolerances find sales jobs that are 100% commission based, and these are folks making a killing, right?
Right.
And then you go back and it scales from there. But this is a you either win or you lose type of a job. And so there is always going to be some sort of that. But if we're looking at it from like a sales leadership perspective, we're looking at it from a company leadership perspective. We aren't playing the role of salesperson anymore that's like, yeah, I'm just going to go work harder and close more deals. You're like, hey, we have to generate more revenue for the company that's not just revenue, but it's good revenue, it's profitable revenue. We need to have a system in place that allows us to do these things and to keep growing.
Totally.
And when that's true, and the sales leaders are just saying, sell more, that's often where we see conflict. That's often where we see people that get to that plateau and don't go further past it.
Gotcha. It sounds too to me that there's times where sales leaders, if the team's not selling more or getting what they need to accomplish or getting that thing done to move across the finish line, they almost like take everything on their back and try to do it themselves too. Do you see that happen?
Yeah, I mean, that happens sometimes.
Yeah.
And it's this point of when a sales leader is doing nothing but pipeline reviews and activity reviews and telling people to sell more, get better, and that's not happening, that is when you watch these great, great professionals hit into all-time slumps and hit their lows and are just emotionally drained. And so one of the best parts of being a coach like I am is we, you know, in the team here at Impact is that we get to go in and fix that so that we stop saying things like sell better. We stop having sales managers that don't know what they should be doing or how they can help their teams. We actually can go help them unpack that stuff and then like get them out of this, man, we just got to sell more. And as soon as we get them out of that, then that's really where growth comes.
Yeah, that's really interesting. It sounds like you're trying to shift the mindset because I feel like if you get into those trenches where you're not selling and you're hitting your lows, it affects everything. It affects how you interact with customers. It affects like the whole game itself. So in those meetings for sales leaders, what specifically do you coach them on to try to get these conversations that are going to unearth some of these problems where they can identify and actually fix them instead of basically like sweeping them under the rug?
Well, it's the simplest answer in the world, right? It's like, well, why aren't we closing more?
Yeah.
And the problem is they don't always have an answer because we might have a culture where we haven't started recording sales calls. Mm-hmm. We might have a culture where we record sales calls, but we don't watch them. We might have a culture where we care more about the number of phone numbers you dialed than the quality of the conversations you're having. And so we have to uncover that. And a lot of the time, sales leaders don't know why they're not closing.
Really?
Yeah, well, because they're not, like, they will have, so here's what happens. They will have a gut instinct of why they're not closing, mm-hmm. but they haven't done that next level of work of watching the game tape. You know, you hear a lot of people say, well, I go on the sales calls with the people. And the second that they do that, they end up taking over the sales call. Or they get one or two outcomes from the person they're sitting with, right? You either get the best day that they ever have because they're like fired up and they want to impress their boss, or you get the worst day because they're so nervous that they're
right,
that their boss is sitting next to them, right? So it's not this clear picture. So it's not as good as watching a series of calls, watching several calls that somebody's had to see, hey, do they talk about the product wrong? Are they not asking enough questions? Are they presenting too quickly? Are they talking about themselves and not really honing in on the body? Like, these are all things that when you watch your people, then you know what needs to get solved. So then you go from, you know, being that leader that's got the bat that says sell more and beats your desk to being the dude that goes, hey, Alex, I noticed in your last Explore call, you did X, Y, and Z. Let's role play that now so that we can get a different outcome the next time.
Gotcha.
That's where we want to get to. And, you know, there's things that have to come in place to get to that point for sales leaders.
That makes sense. No, it makes sense because it sounds like from an accountability standpoint for sales leaders, it's looking at what you're measuring. So instead of just looking at pipeline velocity or looking at the numbers, start to watch game tape, start to look at some of these different pieces that you can also use almost like analytics to help teach and coach. So what are some of the specific ones? You said watching game tape. So watching sales calls is important. What else can sales leaders do to have like an accountability, like the checklist or some things they can really focus on?
Yeah. So listen, like with anything, every individual rep is different, right? So we have to assess the reps. So we have to have some sort of criteria that we assess people on, right? So that's a good chunk to have. Mm-hmm. The next thing is it's not that we don't want to look at activities. Right? Because activities, there's a reason that we've gone so far into that is that data has made it really easy for us to do that. We've got all these tools. And so we're like, we can go look at that, but it's only half the thing.
Half the story. Right.
Half the story, right? So today now, with some of these AI tools that help us record the calls, transcribe the calls, summarize the calls, show us how much time people have talked, show us how many questions have been asked, all these different things, it's taking what is that quantifiable data, hard data of number of emails, number of calls, number of this, number of that, and then going into some of the more qualitative aspects of, hey, you know, using a baseline selling term is, does rep X get speed on the bases all the time? And that's where you know, you've built up as you've added advice. People are leaning in to listen to what you have to say. They see you as a guide. You know, you're getting there with them. You are different than other sales reps. It's sort of that quality that's hard to define, but do they get it?
Right.
You can only see that if you watch them with multiple buyers.
Right. And also watching it after the fact where you're not on the call, where it might motivate them to do their best call ever, or you might scare the crap out of them and they have their worst call ever. It gives you a chance to see them like in their natural environment.
Right. So we got to do that. And then as we know, where are people like, so when we look at the activities, we look at the actual performance, then we can go, okay, cool. Sales rep A needs to work on asking more specific questions. Person B needs to really dive in and ask more follow-up questions to truly paint the picture of what prospects are saying, like whatever that is. And so we take that, we can work on those in one-on-ones, but we also need to bring the whole team together and talk about these things. Talk about what we saw on game tape, role play scenarios that are coming up, talk about issues that folks are having, and have this collaborative approach to selling versus, you know, reps Sharks. Going off. Yeah. And just being off on your own.
Right.
Right. But so for the sales leaders, they have to set that tone, and it has to be one where, you know, it's open. It's okay to talk about our failures here. You know, the sales leader might have to start out by talking about how they've failed in the past and tell a story to get everybody going.
So trying to create a safe space or an environment where people can be open and learn from their mistakes, and mistakes aren't like this really negative faux pas thing that you're going to get in trouble for necessarily.
Yeah. So I'm working with the client and I've worked with them for a long time, but we just started really getting into sales training.
Cool.
And they have a sales rep who's been with them for a long time. He's their highest performing sales rep. And we watched a call and it was not like I watched a call they did and it was not good. Okay. Right. It wasn't not good from a, like, it was just very much about their organization. It was very much a pitch. I think this human talked for like 75 to 80% of the call.
Okay.
When we want sales reps talking about 40 to 50%, maybe, like asking questions. And it really didn't do anything. Like at the end of the day, we didn't know much about the buyer. We told them a bunch of stuff and we set up another call. Right.
And this is their top salesperson.
This was their top performer.
Okay.
So we went into a sales training. We talked about it.
Yeah. What was that like?
How'd it was
that?
Great because here's what happened. And so by the way, when we do this, I love getting everybody in there. So I like having marketing folks in there. You know, if the organization, like I had the CEO of the organization in there too. Right.
Very cool. Wow.
And as we start talking about it, the sales rep is like, hey, knowing everything that we know now and haven't talked about this, I totally botched it. Here's what I should have done. Here's how I could have done it. Boom, 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 boom. Mm-hmm. And here's the best part that happened. The CEO raised his hand, which is funny that the CEO raised his hand, you know, but raised his hand in Zoom. And he's like, salesperson, dude, the only way we're going to get better is if we have attitudes like yours in here. So awesome that you did this, right? And so that opened up every other rep who is like afraid to talk about their mistakes. And this CEO allowed the sales reps to talk about where they're messing things up so that we can have these bigger conversations. Right now, if the CEO wasn't there, the sales leader who I know, like he was going to say the same thing.
Right.
But that's what we need sales leaders to do, is to be open to all this stuff. Because Alex, I'm going to tell you the best way, like where I've seen sales leaders completely flip their sales organizations and take them in starting to go in the right direction is by talking about the losses, and not from a shame on you perspective, but from a, okay, so who else would have done that? And everybody's hand goes, you go, great. So knowing what happened, how do we do this better? And let's role play it out. And let's talk about these things. Let's talk about these communication principles that we should be using. Let's talk about what we're trying to achieve.
Right.
And that's when people go, I know what I need to do next time. I know what I should have done in that situation. That's where growth happens. And that's where we actually start to sell better, because we start selling smarter. We stop wasting time. We stop pitching. We really get to how do we solve or how do we understand the need, and then how do we provide a solution if they've got one that fits.
Right, right. It's also shifting the culture. You're from the top down, whether it's the CEO or the sales leader, creating that environment, that safe space, having everybody in the room, it shifts the perception from maybe being scared to share openly and honestly to driving that. Like people want to share open and honestly so that they can learn and they can get better. And it shifts the whole momentum of the team.
Yeah. Now, some people might be listening to this, be like, dude, sales, we're supposed to get results. So you're too soft here.
Like everyone can't sing Kumbaya or something like that.
Right. But like, let's get real. I love to win. Right.
Yes,
this is not like, oh, Chris is just telling us how to love each other. No. This is how we learn. We don't learn when we bring shame to people. We don't learn when you're like feet are on the fire.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the deal. We still have to hold people accountable. So if they are not improving based on the training, we should be watching that and holding them accountable to it.
Totally.
If they are not taking the training seriously, so they don't show up, or they show up and they don't pay attention, like hold them accountable. If they tell you the same loss over and over again and haven't changed anything, hold them accountable, right? But if we're going to truly hold people accountable, we have to provide them the right coaching and guidance and teaching for what we expect.
Yeah, having that accountability and clearly defining that,
right,
it gives you the leverage as a leader to make better decisions, whether people are keeping up with what they're supposed to be doing and you can actually measure it and it's not just a subjective review of what your gut instinct is telling you.
Right. And the cool thing when you do all this stuff together, this training, these role plays together, everybody starts doing it in their own way, but having those sort of guardrails on, hey, when we're going to go talk about budget, here's generally how we're going to approach it,
mm-hmm.
right? And then we continually relook at the ways that we do this. And so hopefully we can see this clear difference of sell more to today we're going to role play on how we have the budget conversation because we keep losing deals because of budget,
right?
Right? One makes us maybe feel better like we've done our thing as a leader. The other actually will get results going, will help the team know how and what they need to do to sell better, to sell more. But if we don't do that training aspect, then we lose it. And we can't train on stuff that's just random. We have to watch and know what's happening. And as much as I hate saying it, you can't trust back briefs from reps. It's not that they're going to lie to you. It's that they only heard it one way.
I got you. Yeah.
And so we
You're
as
hearing
leaders,
one side of the story.
Right. So we as leaders need to watch it. And we need to look at how was this asked? How did this go? What was the prospect's body language? Like, we have to look three-dimensionally at all this stuff so that we know what to coach on, how to coach, and the direction that we need to take the team.
That makes a lot of sense. It does. And any interaction I've had with clients, I like to win too. So I get very in the moment where, like, I don't want to say I black out, but it just happens where, like, you may think you have said something a certain mm-hmm. way or your body language or this and that, but because you're in it and your like emotions are up, you're not always analyzing it like you would if you stepped away from it and you got to see yourself like from a third person view.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's
really fascinating.
And that's what sales leaders need to be doing. So okay. if you're saying, so Chris, I'm the CEO of my organization, how do I set up accountabilities or how do I help my sales leader mm-hmm. know what they should be doing? Right. I'm going to say, so yes, you have to have the KPIs that you guys care about from a performance standpoint. But I would add a metric around how many sales calls they've watched in a given time period, whether that's week, month, whatever. I would say daily they should watch. If you're a sales leader, you should be watching at least a sales call a day in my book. Then I'd have a metric on sales training and or role plays. And one-on-ones, that are outside of just pipeline reviews, right? If I was, you know, if I was the CEO of a company that had that, like that's what I'd care about. And I'd spend most of my time talking about what are you seeing in your calls? Mm-hmm. What are the trends that you're seeing with the team? And what's your plan of attack to change those? That's what I would focus on, not why aren't we making more phone calls?
Makes sense. Makes a lot of sense. So I'm going to switch gears here because we have a quote that is from someone named Brent Keltner, and he says that sales training has evolved very little in 50 years. Mm. There's a focus on product training and methodology training, but no focus on having authentic, fluid conversations with buyers. What do you think about that quote, and how does that apply to accountability with what we're talking about?
I agree with him, right? Because here's what you typically see is sales training programs. Product. So if they're a product company, it's explaining a certain product. How do you sell it? What are the things? What are the features? What are the gadgets and gizmos and all that stuff?
Right.
Then it might go into tech. You might get some training on how to use the CRM, how to do this, how to do that. But we don't focus on the most important part of selling, which is the human to human interaction. The how do you have great conversations to understand what people are getting into. We spent tons of time talking about how to give your pitch.
Right. Here's the one pager. Here's our sheet, right?
But the reality is that's the last thing that you should be putting focus and attention on. Mm-hmm. Because you only get there if you've had a great conversation, if you do sales right. Mm-hmm. But so as a profession, I have heard prospects and clients of mine talk about how sales in their industry is old or traditional or behind. And I think that quote just sums it up.
Yeah.
We have not worked on the skills in sales that go past closing, that go past product demos, partially because those are the things that are easy to train on. It's easy to train somebody on how to give the demo for your SaaS product.
Right. You can memorize this script and walk someone through a PowerPoint or a demo real easy. Sure.
Right. But here's the problem. That means that we go right to demo before we know if the prospect has a need and is even willing to solve the problem that they have.
Right.
So we get to this presentation, this demo, way too fast. The thing that we have to do if we're going to take sales, which is one of the coolest professions out there, right? Like it's just, you actually get to go help people solve problems, right? But if we don't change the way that leaders look at sales training and take it to sales training's communications training, and if we don't focus on that, then we're going to sort of get the same results we've always gotten. There's only so much stuff product knowledge can get you. There's only so much stuff that process can get you. There's only so much stuff that tech can get you. If you don't know how to ask questions and not sound like you're an interrogator, you're not going to be a good salesperson. If you don't know how to ask questions and deal with potential tough answers, and know how to roll through it and dig deeper, you're not going to be a good salesperson.
Yeah.
If you think the second you get resistance, you have to go back on offense and pitch and do all this stuff, and basically it's really you go on defense by pitching again, you're not going to be a good salesperson because you have to understand the resistance. You have to ask questions. You have to understand what's going on in their mind so that you can know what to do. But we don't train people that way.
No, it's a really good point because I've been on many, many a sales calls that are just right into the demo and look at the shiny object that we've created. And maybe it's a wonderful product or a really cool tool or whatever the case is, but they're pretty much on autopilot, reading off the script, showing the thing, not asking questions. I've been on a lot of those. I'm sure a lot of our listeners and viewers have been on those calls too.
One of my favorite stories is about a sales interaction that we had here at Impact. And it was us and a technology partner. And that technology partner did their demo. Buyer still wouldn't buy. A client of ours wasn't ready to buy. So then our technology coach did the same thing. weren't ready to buy. Then we brought in Marcus. Marcus asked two questions.
Okay.
And then said, you need to buy that because of this. And they bought it. Because what Marcus did was found out what was important to them. The tool that they were talking about would solve that. And so all the extraneous other stuff that's super duper cool didn't matter in the buying decision. What it actually did was confuse the buyer.
Wow.
These are the types of things that if you are a sales leader and you actually start watching calls, you're going to notice, right?
Well, it's just like supply and demand. If you don't create a demand or a need and show a problem or discover a problem and ask those questions to get to that place, then there's no need to buy whatever follow-on product or service there is. Yeah. Right.
And this is the thing that sales, like when you start watching calls, when you start doing role plays, you will see where your teams lose. Mm-hmm. And it's not always where you think.
Yeah.
Right. But so that's the key. And I agree with the quote of sales training hasn't changed much. We don't do enough of it. And we need to really change sales training to communications training. And everybody should be doing it.
I agree. And I'm learning a lot listening to you. So if I could put you on like a proverbial soapbox, right? Why hasn't sales changed? Why is it stuck in its old ways? And what would you on your soapbox say to everybody out there that's like, this is the new era is coming. AI tools are coming out. Like there's a human piece to this that's way more important than just numbers and sell more.
So I think we all have to get out of our own way.
Okay.
Meaning, and listen, I'm guilty of this too, right? I was an Army officer. I got trained hard. Like my bosses treated me tough because that's how they got
Right.
That doesn't work with everybody. And so we shouldn't look at this as like, well, I had to walk uphill both ways to school, so you should too. It's like, no, we have all this wisdom and we shouldn't let it be wasted on us. And so as leaders of organizations, as sales leaders, we have to go, cool, so I've got all this wisdom and I should go give it to people. But the way that I need to do it is by doing role plays. The way that I need to actually know what the problems are is by watching game film and talking with people and training on this stuff. And so if we're like, well, salespeople should just know what to do. They're here. I pay them well, blah, 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 blah. Like, cool. Hopefully you have great salespeople that are doing great. Mm-hmm. But if you're sitting there going, man, we just need to close more. Like if you're not saying we close every deal we get, if you're not saying, you know, we never lose a deal that we shouldn't lose. Like if those things aren't true statements, then you need to go look at why are we losing?
Yeah,
we need to look at what is happening in the conversations. So that's my piece. The number one thing is you don't know what's happening in the sales call unless you watch it.
Yeah. You said something really interesting too that stuck out to me. I feel like a lot of sales leaders, when they're hiring salespeople or when they're looking at salespeople, they're judging them on performance from their previous jobs. It's about like a numbers game, which plays right back into what we're talking about, that like you're basing a judgment off of a salesperson solely on their metrics of what they sold and maybe not on how they actually interact and all the things that we've been talking about.
Yeah.
Wow. So can you share a story with us? Is there a client or a company that you've interacted with that you've helped coach and train, maybe did a workshop, but like they were in this stereotypical box that we're talking about and they've progressed into adopting this this idea of accountability and it's just completely shifted their whole sales process and they're crushing it?
Yeah. I mean,
I'm sure there's a ton, but like, is there one that sticks out?
Opus Partners.
Yeah.
They're this great property investment company. They help Kiwis basically take that first step into planning for their retirement through helping them acquire rental properties and grow their portfolio so they can retire and have a great retirement, right? And when I first started working with them, they like literally had a script for each meeting. And they were doing okay. And then we started doing all of this stuff and we started looking at like what's happening in the calls and we started refining the types of questions that were asked. We started really learning the principles of the question first framework. We started, you know, doing role plays. We started having salespeople share the losses that they've had. And we had the marketing team and leadership there. And from that, we've created more content that directly helps sellers sell and buyers buy. We've refined their communication skills to the point of they are asking really tight, great questions that get the right answers rendered. They're actually helping more people because they know how to talk about the thing or ask the questions to see, is this right for this person? Is it not? What are their hangups? What is all this stuff? And so they're in an industry that interest rates directly affect.
Yeah.
And they are doing better year to date than they were last year. They're on track to hit close to a record year when their economy's been weird, their interest rates are super high, all these different things. They had an election.
Right. Typically,
all things that impact.
Yeah, be going the other direction typically. Right. Yeah.
And they're just doing really well.
Wow.
Right. And so they're a great example. Another example is Lamont.
Oh. Real quick. So you said something in the beginning. So Opus Partners.
Yep.
They help Kiwis. What's a Kiwi?
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Folks from New Zealand. Oh, they're a New Zealand company. they call themselves Kiwis.
Gotcha.
Yes.
I wasn't sure if we were like in SpongeBob land and it was like.
Nope. That is how they refer to their countrymen.
Gotcha. Very cool. All right. And then you were going to say there's another one.
So listen, Lamont, the Lamont brothers, they're a design build remodeling company in Portland, Oregon. And we've been working with them for a while now, and they've not only adjusted their whole sales process, but they meet weekly, they role play, they work on questions, they watch calls, and they do, again, like this elaborate thing, right? So people are spending hundreds of thousands of dollars through these remodels. And before, they used to start and they'd get all the scoping stuff and they'd lose on price all the time. And through role-playing and watching tape and understanding buyers and all the stuff, they started getting to why people wanted to do this change. What was that compelling reason? What was that thing in them that's like, hey, I've had this rock in the shoe about not loving my kitchen for long enough. Now I'm ready to do something about it. And that one shift got them over a hump, right? Mm-hmm. And so again, that's an industry that interest rates being high, like all these things should have impacted them. And they had a really great 2023.
That's right? Incredible. Yeah.
And I think it's because their sales folks have better conversations with their buyers. It's not more conversations. It's better conversations.
Better conversations.
Better conversations lead to more sales.
Yeah. Well, because I think the markets that they're in, you're right, interest rates are high. It might seem like a deterrent where like, oh, people aren't buying houses right now. People aren't remodeling right now. Where that's actually not true. But you're not having the right conversations to get to the people that are actually buying and doing those things.
And oh, by the way, when you do all of this stuff that we're saying, mm-hmm. when you train on communication, you train on asking great questions, you do all this stuff, salespeople become guides. Guides aren't scary. And you can get better results, right? Now, here's the thing about both of these organizations. Sales leader is fully present. Owner / managing partner, present. Marketing leader, present. It is not optional training. It is mandatory training. You don't show up late or you put a dollar in the late jar type of a thing, right?
Gotcha, yeah. But it's really important.
But they've made it this sacred space, and they do it when they have the coach there, and they do it when they're not there. And they even send me the recordings of when they do it so that I can give feedback to the sales leader of how they're running these things, right?
Very cool.
And it's this, three-dimensional approach to improving their sales, as opposed to the owner just saying,
Sell more. Yeah, and it directly affects the bottom line of the business. And that's huge.
Yeah.
Wow, Chris, I've learned a lot about accountability. I think a lot of our listeners surely have too. If they have questions or follow-ups, how do they get in touch with you? Where can they reach you so they can ask you more about sales and accountability?
So if you want to get in touch with me, if it's real quick, find me on LinkedIn, drop me a quick chat. Happy to respond to you. If you want to have a 30-minute conversation to just talk about what's going on in your organization, you know, when you go to Impact Site, just put when you convert on that book a call with a coach, say, hey, I'd like to talk to Chris about this specific thing. And we'll have a very chill conversation about what's going on in your organization and how we can help.
All right. And that's our show. So thank you for tuning in to the Endless Customers podcast. We really appreciate you listening, and we will see you on the next episode. And hey, don't forget that we have episodes every Monday and Wednesday releasing on all major platforms. So be sure to go subscribe. That way you won't miss out on how you can earn trust and win customers in the age of AI.